for propaganda. Now it's everywhere I look, it's a propaganda. It's just like history books, propaganda. Everywhere I go, hey mister, well, tell me what you know. Hey mister, come on, tell me what you know. And they won't get no time on the television. Words been sent down from the owner corporation for propaganda. Now it's everywhere I go, it's a propaganda. It's all my TV shows, propaganda. Just scheming, but telling who's your enemy and who's your friend. Well, I'm not sure that I believe them. When street side posters are encouraging me peeping to report my local terrorists and the company that keep it. It's propaganda. Now it's everywhere I look, it's a propaganda. Man, it's just like in history books. Propaganda. It's everywhere I go. Well, hey, mister, come on, tell me what you know. Like, who are they in Guantanamo Bay, sir? 'Cause there ain't no names and no crimes written in my paper. The racial prisoner who's wondering why his charges. Secret meetings in taxi cab garages. Propaganda. Now it's everywhere I go. Another propaganda. Man, it's on my radio. Propaganda. Everywhere I go. Hey, mister. Come on, tell me what you know. Hey, mister. Tell me what you know.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. Today's program is, should universal health coverage be the U.S. federal government's responsibility? There are three panelists for this and three panelists against it. Of the most notable people is Paul Krugman, who is a professor of economics and an op-ed columnist for the New York Times, and John Stossel, who is a Fox Business news anchor and commentator, and the host of Stossel, a weekly program airing on Fox Business Network.
For Intelligence Squared US, Oxford-style debating on America's shores. We have six panelists for and against the motion. The motion in this debate is universal health coverage should be the federal government's responsibility. We're going to poll you both before and after the debate because the point here is to win the room. These debaters are trying to persuade you to their point of view. Everyone comes in here with a point of view or the absence of a point of view known as undecided. So in a short time, we'll have the results to share with you, but we want to begin now with the opening statements. Once again, our topic, universal health coverage, should be the federal government's responsibility. And arguing first for the motion, Paul Krugman, a well-known op-ed columnist for the New York Times, and I want to point out that in an era when many of us were beginning to refer to our potatoes as freedom fries, Paul Krugman stood up and talked about the French when it comes to health care in some ways doing it better than the United States. Paul Krugman, the podium is yours.
I'm an economist, which means I'm supposed to talk about efficiency. But I actually want to start by talking about morality. As we sit here, there are several million people in the Houston metropolitan area who are without electricity or running water. They've been hit by disaster. They didn't do anything wrong, so they stayed in their houses because that was what they were advised by the governor of Texas to do. It was the right thing to do, given the impossibility of evacuating a city that size. And now a lot of them are in trouble. Some of them can manage. Some of them can now go and stay with relatives. Some are in good health then. Others are not. They're in a lot of trouble. Now, do we think that the people who are in trouble, who are elderly, who are in poor health, who just don't have the financial resources, whatever, to get themselves out of that situation, do we believe that, well, look, you know, it's not a government responsibility to help them. They should be left on their own. Well, of course we don't. I mean, I imagine there are some people who do believe that, but not many. Now imagine some American who is in poor health and can't afford medical care. Do we believe that that's their problem? Well, I would submit to you that actually as a nation, we don't believe that it's appropriate to leave these people on their own. And in fact, by and large, if you ask people, should people have health coverage in this country? Should people be guaranteed health care? Most polls I've seen say that a heavy majority of the public thinks that they should. So then the question would be, well, how is it that we don't actually have that? And the answer is, of course, that we're told, well, actually we're told two things. We're told, first of all, that we already do it, that we already take care of everybody. But the other argument is that it's impossible, that if you try to have some form of universal health care, it'll be terrible. It'll be lousy quality. It'll be wildly expensive. And so people are told that, you know, a government insurance system can't possibly work. But, you know, there's a secret. There's this program called Medicare. Covers every American 65 and older. It is horrors. It's a single-payer health insurance system run by the federal government. When it was being proposed, people said it would be terrible. Well, it's become as American as apple pie. Famous quote among in the healthcare field is the constituent who accosted Senator John Breaux saying, "Senator, don't let the government get its hands on Medicare." The fact of the matter is we have universal health coverage for our elderly already. The other thing that people say is that it would be impossibly expensive. Little known, other big secret. In this country, the government already pays more health care bills than private insurers do. The reason is that we already cover the expensive cases. We already have the expensive cases, the elderly, the very sick who end up being bankrupted and therefore end up poor enough to get Medicaid are covered by public programs. What's left are generally lower income working adults, and we pay an enormous amount to not cover them. The fact of the matter is that our healthcare system is wildly inefficient, largely because we have an insurance industry that devotes enormous resources to trying to identify who really needs health insurance so as not to give it to them.
Paul Krugman, thank you very much. Speaking against the motion, John Stossel, my colleague from ABC News, but we did not discuss this ahead of time. In fact, though both of us have worked a quarter century at ABC News, we've never met until tonight. John Stossel's hard-nosed take on many a liberal policy assumption is summed up in his catchphrase, "Give me a break." Tonight, in a sense, we're discussing what if you break your arm or your neck? Should the federal government be there to provide your insurance safety net? John Stossel here to argue against that idea and the motion tonight.
It is intuitive to think that it should, that we have very poor and helpless people, and it's the job of government to help them. And actually, we have that. We have Medicaid. If you are poor, you are covered in America. It's not a good system. It's tempting to think that a wise government could step in. And Paul Krugman has just said, look at Medicare. People like Medicare. And that's true. But of course they like it, because it gives you stuff free. People like that. But it's unsustainable. It's $35 trillion in the hole. That's the unfunded liability of Medicare. Now, many people say that the perfect system is in Europe, where you have universal health care. And it's true. Most other countries do have systems like that. And it gets rid of the horrible anxiety that some people have in America. Will I be covered? But it's better to be anxious than to be in horrible pain or to be dead. And these universal coverage systems, they don't guarantee universal access to actual care. In Canada, more than 1 million families can't get a doctor. There aren't enough doctors to go around. In Britain, 1 in 8 patients waits more than a year for treatment in a hospital. Now, why does this happen? Well, because when everything is free, when the government pays for it, everybody wants everything. But the government doesn't have infinite money, so the government then must ration. Still, despite the fact they spend less, European care is not remarkably inferior. It's pretty good for most people. But that's true only because they freeload off of us. because most of the innovation comes from America, from the greedy, profit-driven companies that want to take as much money from you as they possibly can. They're the ones who gave us so much good stuff, the MRIs, the CT scans, the statins like Lipitor to reduce cholesterol, coronary bypass surgery, hip replacement, knee replacement. What will the world be like if we have universal care and we don't have America to invent those things? Yes, the private market is awful in many ways and wasteful. It is intuitive to think a single payer would be more efficient. And I used to believe that when I attended Paul Krugman's university. I was taught that the wise elites in Washington and state capital can plan these things better than these competing companies. But then I became a consumer reporter, and I watched the market work. And now I say that's nonsense. Government can't do anything even close to the efficient way that private companies do it. When government pays for things, people don't change. They don't innovate. They keep doing the same thing they did to get paid. So as an example, look at the inefficiency of the private car companies. They waste millions on advertising on my program. I'm glad they do. They have these competing dealerships and pushy salesmen selling things like rust proofing that we don't need. Despite all of that, the worst you can get is better than this. This is what universal coverage gives us. And I apologize to those of you on the radio, you can't see, I'm holding up a picture of the Trabant, that East German car. This was the best those brilliant East German engineers could produce. It was an awful car. You had to put the oil and gas in separately and shake the car to mix them together. As soon as the Berlin Wall went down, this disappeared because it couldn't compete with the mediocre products that were produced by our competing companies. I don't want to have this kind of health care.
Thank you, John Stossel.
Hear great speeches and interviews at Access Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com. And now, back to the debate. Should universal health coverage be the U.S. federal government's responsibility?
We have a Canadian in the House tonight, Michael Raklis. Michael Raklis is a physician who has lived on the other side of the U.S.-Canada border. He trained in Canada. He practices medicine there. He is a health policy expert there. And given that Canada so often is the example cited as for why universal coverage is the solution or why universal coverage is the problem, we are pleased to have Michael Raklis standing at our podium to argue for the motion, universal health coverage should be the federal government's responsibility. Michael.
Thank you very much, John. Now, as Paul has said, that this is very much a question of values. And it's actually a case where you can have your cake and eat it too. In fact, you can only eat your cake if you have it. In other words, you can only get cost control if you have equity. The U.S. system costs the most in the world. It denies care to tens of millions of Americans. I have seen that personally. And the international performance and quality is just so-so. We actually get more of most services than Americans do. We have more visits to doctors every year, more days in hospital, more days in nursing homes. We take more prescription drugs than you do. And that far from lacking innovation, we're the country that brought you insulin. We developed bone marrow transplantation. And all of this costs way less, 10% of our GDP compared to 16% in your country. How does that happen? Well, half of the extra expense is administration because of the extra expense of this multiple payer system. The other half is due to higher prices because you don't have effective cost control because you don't have a single payer. Now, this must cost us a fortune. We must be basket cases. The Canadian federal government has run surpluses equal to 1% to 2% of our GDP for 11 years in a row. You'd imagine Canadians are dying in the street waiting for medical care. In fact, we now live 3 years longer on average than you do. This is over a 50-year period. We've now got a three-year longer life expectancy. Our infant mortality rates are 20% to 30% lower than yours. So Canada has done well, but Canada is not the outlier. Canada is the outlier in North America. Around the world, wealthy countries, all wealthy countries that Americans would think of when they would think of other countries they could live in, all other countries have a mainly public system. So it comes back to values. If you focus on equity, you get a bonus. You get cost control. If you focus on cost control, you don't get equity or cost control. And I strongly encourage you folks to vote for our side. Thank you.
I'm John Donvan, and you're listening to Intelligence Squared U.S., Oxford-style debating on America's shores. I am John Donvan. And this is Intelligence Squared U.S., Oxford-style debating. We have six panelists for and against the motion. The motion in this debate is universal health coverage should be the federal government's responsibility. We are halfway through the opening statements at this point, halfway to our Q&A section, but I'd now like to introduce, arguing against the motion, Sally Pipes, author of The Top 10 Myths of American Healthcare, A Citizen's Guide. She is president and chief executive officer of the Pacific Research Institute, a think tank based in California. She also comes from Canada. But not only does she argue against this motion, 2 years ago she completed a personal journey and became a citizen of the United States. Sally Pipes.
I do think that everyone here would agree that the key goal for America is affordable, accessible, quality health care. The question is, how do we achieve that goal? There are two competing visions for health care reform in this country today. One focuses on government, mandates, and taxes, while the other focuses on free markets, innovation, and empowering consumers. The long-term goal of most liberals is a Canadian-style, single-payer, Medicare-for-all healthcare system. They also cite life expectancy and infant mortality as evidence of the superiority of these systems. Well, let's look at life expectancy. People who make this claim usually note that life expectancy is higher in Canada and Europe. The World Health Organization ranking does not measure, though, the quality of a healthcare system. The World Health Organization ranks systems that treat people equally higher than those that treat people well. Now let's look at infant mortality. The reality is that the United States, with its superior neonatal care facilities, has allowed more high-risk babies to live. But this also pushes the infant mortality rate higher because of a greater number of at-risk births, babies being born. And in other countries, many of those at-risk babies do not live and are not counted in infant mortality statistics. Now let's look at adult cancer survival rates. A study published in the August issue of the British journal Lancet Oncology said that America is much better at treating cancer than Europe or Canada. Researchers found that Americans have a better survival rate for 13 of the 16 most prominent cancers. Breast cancer survival rate among American women is 83.5%, whereas in Britain, 70%. American men and women are 35% more likely to survive colon cancer than their British counterparts.
Everybody knew that it could happen. The likelihood was clear, the future was coming. Now it's here. They had to fix the levees, 'cause otherwise they'd break. On one side was the city, above it was the lake. It was in the daily papers, in bold letters was the writ. What would happen when the big one hit? Every year they cut the funding, just a little more, so they could give it to the army to fight their oil war. In National Geographic and the Times-Picayune, they forecast the apocalypse, said it was coming soon. Preparations must be made, they said. Now is the time. It was years ago, they shouted. Inaction was a crime. They said the dikes must be improved and the wetlands must be saved. But Washington decided instead they should be paved, 'cause malls were more important than people's lives. So put some gold dust in your eyes and hope no storm arrives. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. Years and years of warning, no evacuation plan. It was just if the waters rose, get out if you can. There were no buses, no one chartered any trains. There was no plan to rescue all of those who would remain. All the people with no money, all the people with no wheels, all of those who couldn't hotwire one that they could steal. Thousands and thousands of people abandoned by the state, abandoned by their country, just left to meet their fate. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. And the people died. Then they died some more. They drowned inside their attics, an army of the poor. An army of the destitute who couldn't get away. And the world will remember those sad and awful days, when people shouted from their houses, dying on their roofs. When people came to find them, they were turned back by the troops. They died there with no water, they died there in the heat. They were shot down by the soldiers for trying to find some food to eat. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. The city is in ruins, a massive toxic sea scattered through the nation. 500,000 refugees. Here we are, in the richest country on the earth, where the color of your skin determines what your life is worth. Where oil is the king, where global warming is ignored, where the very end of life is the place we're heading towards. Where it's more than just a metaphor, the flooding of the dike. And if we don't stop this madness, the whole world will be like New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans.
Now for something completely different.